Scripture reading shall be 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 through 2. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. Word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Evening, everyone. This evening, in a little bit of time we have together, I'd like to speak on the subject of what manner of persons ought ye to be, or what manner of person should we be. In the reading just given by Josh, when he was answering the scoffers who were scoffing at the coming of Jesus, and he taught them that things were different, that they weren't the same as they were, and then he started in verse 9 talking about how God is not willing that any should perish, and then talking about the impending destruction of the earth. In that verse 11, he asks, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Brother Wallace E. Skipper wrote on this subject, ought to be denotes continuous being and might properly be translated, ought you to be found. Because certainly that's how we should live, how we'll be found, how we should be acting all the time. Because we're Christians all the time, not just in church, not just with Christian friends or family, but at work, at play, and wherever we are. So this evening I want to look at a few things, what manner of persons we ought to be or we must be. This word ought carries the meaning of we must be or should work to be. Number one, we should be faithful people. Certainly for what all God has done for us, for all that we have seen in His Word. And faith, of course, is important. In Hebrews 11:6, we're told that without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And this diligent means painstaking effort, putting an effort into it. And, of course, the only way we seek God now, of course, is through this Word, through His book that He has written for us. And certainly, we need to do that. In the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we're told, be thou faithful unto death, and I shall give thee a crown of life. So we need to be faithful people, believe in God, believe in what He has done, in His promises. That's what led us to become Christians in the first place, and we must lean on that faith. We must also be steadfast people, to stand strong. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, we're told, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, sometimes I think we feel sometimes it may be in vain. We try to talk to people, they won't listen. We have people that fall away from the church, and we strive to get them back, and it just seems like we're not making progress, but we are. And we're making an impact on them, and we're doing the best we can. And we must be steadfast and unmovable, not moving away from our beliefs and our faith and the things that we have been taught, the things that we have heard through God's Word. Not waver away from them. In Acts chapter 2, in verses 41 and 42, in the early church, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And of course, this apostles' doctrine, it doesn't mean it belonged to the apostles, it means the doctrine they taught from Christ. The same thing that's taught today. It hasn't changed. Many people try to change it, but it hasn't changed. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We're going to be ridiculed. We see it in the world today, especially in the Middle East, where Christians are being captured and tortured and murdered. But we can't waver away from it. You know, many of those who were killed by these barbarians were told to denounce their faith, and they wouldn't do it. And they were killed because of it, but they stood steadfast. Hopefully we'll never be called upon to face that kind of persecution. But if we should, we need to stay faithful. We also ought to be a prayerful people, to go to God in prayer often, to thank Him for the things that we have and the things He has done for us, to ask Him for help and for guidance. We need to do this. We need to have a good prayer life. It's certainly important that we do that. God wants to hear from us. He always hears our prayers. He's waiting to hear our prayers. You know, when we rise in the morning to, you know, thank Him for the new day, and when we put our heads on our pillows at night to thank Him for the day just passed, and to fall asleep knowing that we have a right relationship with God, that we're in a good prayerful relationship. In Philippians chapter 4, in verses 4 through 7, we're told, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So certainly, God wants to hear from us. And in the same reading, in the next verse, He gives us some things here that we should concentrate on. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So these are certainly good things for us to think about, to put our minds on rightful things and rightful living. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, a very short verse, says, "Pray without ceasing." Now that doesn't mean we pray 8, 10, 12 hours a day. What all it means is to keep praying, to keep on praying. Pray to God. He hears our prayer. Sometimes it may not seem like it. You know, we have things that beset us. We have hardships and things that don't go our way. But God understands these things, and we don't always understand the reasons for them. But we need to lean on God through prayer. We also ought to be a forgiving people. You know, we're around people all the time at work and out in society that people may anger you, or they may do something to you. They may be spiteful towards you, whatever the case may be. And it's hard sometimes. But we need to forgive people. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So we need to swallow our pride and to try our best to forgive those who are spiteful toward us or who cause us harm. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 tells us, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, I think sometimes we forget of the sins we've been forgiven of. You know, when we become Christians, all our sins are washed away, and we know we had plenty of them. And of course, we still sin, and we can go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness of these sins. So we have this forgiveness. So if God's going to forgive us of the things that we do, then certainly we can't be so high-minded that we're going to say, "Well, I'm not going to forgive that person for what they may have done to me." We also ought to be a sacrificial people. You know, Christianity, of course, was born through sacrifice, was it not? Christ was sacrificed on the cross for us. We're told this in John 3:16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, among other places. So we have to make sacrifices. But they're not grievous sacrifices or things that hurt us, but there's things we give of our time and of our knowledge and of our means and our works to help one another. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us that, "But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So he sacrificed all for us, so we should live for him. And we must present ourselves as a living sacrifice, an active sacrifice, doing whatever we can for the church. Now, not everyone can do everything in the church, but everyone can do something. It may seem small compared to what other people do, but nothing small. It all contributes to the work of the church and making it stronger. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it is reasonable. It's not something that hurts us or makes us feel like we're oppressed and we have to do it. We want to do it. We want to serve God. We want to sacrifice and give of our means and give of ourselves. And lastly, we need to be an exemplary people. To be a good example to those around us. To let them see Christ in us. To let them see how we live. And when they ask us, to be able to tell them why we live the kind of life we do. And why we don't do some of the things that the rest of the world does. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16 tells us, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to let our light shine. Not to show off, but to show up. To let people know who we are. To not, you know, cower down to those who may be saying things against God. To stand up. And to be a good person. And let people see what Christians are like. And certainly it's something we need to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, we're told, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation or behavior, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. To be a good example. Not so you can say, well, look at me, look how good I am, but just rather just to say, I do these things because God has commanded me to do these things. It's the kind of life that I need to live and everyone needs to live. How good of a world would we have if everyone would be Christians, if they would have Christian virtues and do Christian things? We wouldn't have so much turmoil that we have in this country and around the world. So certainly, this is a manner of persons we ought to be, that we must be at all times. We don't know what may befall us. We don't know when Christ may come again. We should always be alert and be on our toes and be active Christians. You know, to be doers of the word, not hearers only, as James tells us. Because if we do that, we deceive ourselves. So certainly we need to be thankful for the word, be thankful for the church, and make the church strong, for we are the church. We're the body of Christ. If you've never become a Christian, it's important that you do so. That's the manner of person you must be. There are a lot of good people who aren't Christians, but they fall short. We only need to look at Acts chapter 10 and look at the story of Cornelius. He was a good person. He found favor with God. But he needed more. And he was taught, him and his household. And they were baptized. You need to hear this word of God. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is his only begotten Son. To repent. To realize that you're wrong and that God is right. You need to make a change in your life. And then confess the good name of Christ before men and be buried in the waters of baptism to arise a new creature. If you've once done this and fallen away, that's not the manner of person you ought to be. And you're living dangerously on borrowed time if you do that. You can come forward and receive the prayers of the church and be forgiven of those things and be returned to the fold of safety and be happy once again in Christ. If anyone here is subject to the invitation call this evening, don't delay. Please come now as we stand and sing together.